From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He's the man behind the camera who makes crucial decisions about how a film looks and feels. He is a son of Howard, the award-winning cinematographer of the movie Selma, Bradford Young. Welcome. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick.
Thank you, sir.
How are you today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Great. Listen, obviously, one of the things that will always be a focus going forward is your participation in the movie Selma.
Sure.
Of historical significance in terms of the history of our country, but clearly brought to life in a way, as I tell people all the time, as the father of a 10 and 8-year-old, brought to life in a way that although they may not experience it or they may not have a direct connection to someone who was on that bridge, movies like yours will tell them that story. How do you feel about that perspective of what it is you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's the magic of what we do, is that we're able to get folks from all walks of life, all ages, closer to the moment in a way that they would not have able to been close to the moment because of their age or maybe their geography. So, you know, it's beautiful because we are able to sort of fulfill a mission of bringing people that much closer to, in this instance, say for Selma, that much closer to Dr. King, who was somebody that I think we hold great duty in terms of just demystifying. You know, not only was he our hero and our leader and our beloved brother, but he was also just a man, you know. And so that's a beautiful part of cinema. We actually have tools that allow us to get that much closer to the likeness of Dr. King.
Now, when you get behind the camera and you're thinking about a historical figure on that particular bridge or in any of the scenes, what are some of the factors that you're trying to bring in order to ultimately give the viewer a sense of it? The technical things that the layperson like myself, you know, we see on the movie, our brain thinks it, but we're not sure quite how it got there.
Right. Well, first is lighting. Lighting is key, right? I'm a cinematographer. My job is to sort of play and dance with shadow and light. And with something like Dr. King, we're really there to sort of capture the likeness of that person. So any opportunity I have to sort of give us that silhouette or that fine line between the actor playing Dr. King and actually Dr. King himself is that magical opportunity again. So first I study the light. Then I think about, okay, where am I going to put the camera? How can I angle the camera in a way so I can really sort of blur those lines between reality and fiction? And then I think about, how am I going to move the camera? You know, how do I bring three-dimensionality to sort of the body and the space? Right. And we have, you know, we have all types of tools to do that. You know, we put cameras on dollies, which are basically platforms with wheels to move the camera. When I feel like there needs to be a sense of urgency in the scene, I take it off the dolly and I put it on my arm and I run with it. These are all the things that we sort of utilize in the filmmaking process that, again, you know, help us get that much closer to characters, which is ultimately all I'm concerned about, is just trying to find that sort of truthfulness, that honesty in a moment that that you would not assume film would be able to do, because film is such a one-dimensional sort of format, but it's our job as cinematographers to bring some three-dimensionality to it.
Now, you're a graduate of Howard University, BS and MFA.
Yeah.
And you studied under the tutelage of filmmaker Haile Gerima. Tell me a little bit about the impact he has had on your career and on the day-to-day of what you do.
The greatest lesson from Haile is that, you know, as an artist, your voice is unique. Nobody's going to have the same voice as you. Nobody's going to have the same perspective on the world as you. And so it's your duty as an artist to nurture your voice, and that we shouldn't spend our time engaging with imitation. When I came to Howard, I was just the regular old American kid, the regular old American Black kid, Black American kid who had been inundated and sort of colonized by Hollywood films. You know, if it didn't look like or smell like or feel like a Hollywood film, it wasn't film to me. When I came to Howard, I realized there were a whole group of people who were not only not interested in making films that way, but didn't value them the same way most of us value them. They were real underground, hardcore, independent filmmakers that were interested in telling stories that lifted humanity up, but didn't put humanity down. And so Haile whenever I'm framing a shot or whenever I'm about to execute an image or I'm thinking about something, he's always in the back of my head saying, all right, this is the moment. This person that you're about to photograph may never be photographed on film again. Do this person a service by photographing them in a really responsible, mindful way. And, you know, we can't let responsibility and mindfulness get in the way of the process. We still have to be free. We still have to like the frames that we're making, but be more conscious about the process, you know. First film I saw when I came to Howard was Birth of a Nation. That changed my life. Once I saw Birth of a Nation, I knew I couldn't just be the regular old cinematographer. I knew I had a responsibility to sort of do a service to the people who have taught me most of what I know about film. I had a service to, bring a certain level of consciousness to the process.
You know, in corporate America today, and I think it touches almost everything we do, people use the phrase, there's no mission without margin. Mm. And given where films are, the industry is, and how dollars flow within that industry, the consumer, just as you described, trying to get to them, how much of that either factors in or doesn't factor in terms of what it is you're trying to do? Because as you stay true to yourself,
right,
you still want to make sure that success, which isn't just defined by the finances,
sure,
of it, but
sure,
still there's some modicum of pressure there. And how do you manage that?
Yeah, sure. You know, there are jobs I do to feed the family. That's real. But that doesn't sort of shade my opinion on capitalism as we experience it now. Filmmaking is the only art form where artists have to ask permission to be practitioners of their art form. It's the only art form where somebody tells you, you can't make a movie because you have no money. The market never created the art form. The art form created the market. So we have to always remember that commerce comes second. The craft and the art has to come first. And I feel like once we, especially in our community, once we sort of demystify film, not as a tool of commerce, but as a tool of culture, something that can actually teach us. In every other place in the world, Southeast Asia, Europe, Africa at some point, Latin America, film wasn't tied to corporations. Film was part of the ministry of culture. It was the mission of the people to use film to teach. Now film in America is tied to corporations. I want to be part of that conversation where we take commerce out of the conversation. Let's start with craft. Let's be good filmmakers first. Then we can be big, good business people. We can be good whatever. But we need producers, especially black producers. We need producers in our community that are interested in investing in talent, right? We spend a lot of our money. What are we, $660 billion a year we spend on things that we don't own nor control. How about all of the black wealthy class, all the black middle class saying, listen, I'm interested in developing talent. I'll get my $10, my $15, my $500,000, my $700,000, my $1 million, all these brothers and sisters in Silicon Valley that have all this disposable income. Let's invest in some talent. We're ready to invest in talent to build applications, but how come we're not investing in talent to tell these stories that are so important to be told? That should be a mission for our people in the 21st century and the 22nd century, is to use our dollars in a much smarter way. Because at the end of the day, all we really want to do is tell our stories. And once our story is told, we want to be able to say, this is our story. We actually own this intellectual property.
So, you're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Bradford Young. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Just to switch gears a little bit, one, I once participated in a conversation with you and Professor Garima and felt like a bit of an outsider. I felt like I was sitting between two surgeons and I had no clue about anatomy.
Right.
And it was a conversation about light and black faces and brown faces and how the light is different. And there was something that you saw that you were taught here at Howard University that had you look at that slightly differently. And I got the impression that in the industry today, it's not something that probably is well known. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that.
Bear with me. This is a two-tier question. I'll be really quickly, though. I'm a product of my environment. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I grew up on the west side of Louisville, Kentucky, where no white folk around, right? I left Louisville, Kentucky. I moved to south side of Chicago. Very few non-black folk around. I went to Simeon High School. No white folk in that high school. I left Simeon, came to Howard. Very few white folk at Howard, right? I came here and I was taught by Haile Garima, the sort of father of third cinema. Everything I've R&D'd and researched in cinematography, not just on black skin tone, but just in framing, sensibility, light, shadow, grammar, voice, comes from the perspective of the community. So I've had the beautiful opportunity of being able to photograph all different shades of people from our community. And that's what I've studied for literally 15, 17, 18 years since I got here. When I was 18 years old, that's what I've been thinking about. On the way, what I realized was that not one better, not one worse, not developing an inferiority complex around it, but black skin tone is difficult to wrestle with. It's a beast to tackle. And what I realized is that in the struggle for me to understand how to bring a more resolved, a more textural sensibility to the way we photograph our people, what I realized is that black skin tone doesn't reveal itself on the surface. It's what's underneath. You're a surgeon, so you know this. Mm-hmm. It's what's underneath. Underneath black skin tone, there's an array of colors. And that in our journey to sort of find that really, that magical moment where we realize, wow, I haven't experienced skin tone like this on the screen. It's about working hard to dig beneath the surface and find those, what's underneath. All skin tone has that, those virtues, but ours in a unique way, not in a special way, but in a unique way, has the ability to hide things from us, and it's our duty to sort of dig in there and find it. I always say that these aren't technical conversations. You know, this is a conversation around consciousness. So when I see films that don't have our interest at hand, and they're simply just aiming the cameras at black body just to sort of get an image, what I realize it's not a technical conversation. It's about who's willing to make the sacrifice, who's willing to take the moment to struggle with the fact that it is a difficult skin tone to photograph, but once you find the magic underneath, that the payoff is amazing. And so it's a consciousness, and I think that's what Howard did for me. It helped me develop a consciousness, a mindfulness around when you're photographing a scene with blue-black, right, and light brown, that you need to be able to get everybody in the frame, give everybody and find those magical specular moments under the skin tone. And I think that's what I've been able to do. I was taught at Howard. You know, it's something I pursue even now when I'm not photographing necessarily folks from our community. That's what I still pursue.
You know, I was fascinated the first time I heard the conversation. I'm even more fascinated now because I think you capture it, and you're eloquent about describing it to a lay public is excellent. Now, you've been associated with many films, and obviously the latest with Selma. Any key moments you want to leave us with on your journey?
On Selma specifically, it was that idea that we might be that much closer to the likeness. That wasn't a biopic. So, you know, we're filmmakers. We're not documentary filmmakers. We make documentaries, but at this moment, we were narrative filmmakers. And we weren't married to neither truth nor fiction. We were trying to give our interpretation of the moment. And so what I realized in the process of trying to wrestle with the moment, and it's a moment with great responsibility. We knew that the film would be finished and many people would come to the table and say, I don't like the film because it didn't accurately portray this. And we were actually happy that those conversations had happened because we should be allowed to have those conversations. We should be able to have analysis or criticism around the films that portray our heroes. But that film in particular, what it allowed me to do and what I realized that I had the opportunity to get that much closer to a figure, not photographically, but also intellectually, historically, allowed me to get that much closer to a figure that has baffled me since I was a kid. The image of Dr. Martin Luther King that I was taught as a kid is not the man that I realized he was or is, you know? This is a complicated man. This man was down-to-earth human being. This was a man that got caught in a family business. He would have been happy staying in Boston and just studying and hanging out with all the thinkers of his time. But he got caught in a family business. Father said, come home and be a preacher. He went home and he fulfilled his responsibility. I just felt like I knew that man. I know that person. I grew up in a funeral home. I come from 100-plus years of black African-American morticians. I know that journey of becoming that responsibility of claiming something for yourself in light of great family responsibility. So that's a special moment for me as a cinematographer, because when I put my eye on the viewfinder, that little screen in my viewfinder is my own personal theater. Nobody sees it like I see it at that moment. People are looking at monitors and big screens and they see it in their own way. But at that moment, I'm getting a really personal perspective on that man. And so it was deeply emotional for me to sort of demystify this man that I love so much and respect so much, but also be able to have a perspective on him that was very unique.
Well, thanks for being here. My guest today has been Bradford Young. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and I think I can safely say that I talk all the time about obsessing about the journey and not focusing on any milestone. And I try to tell people that Selma is not your greatest. Selma is just another great thing that you've done, among the great things that you will continue to do and make us proud.
That. Thank you,
Please
sir.
Join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.